Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, it is after 8 a.m. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland. People all fired up about verbally assaulting the officials. The OSAA in Oregon passed a new law where officials can kick out fans for unsportsmanlike behavior, which results in them being banned for life from all OSAA events.
But is the behavior subjective, or is it have a list?
Sounds like, pretty subjective.
Does sound subjective.
I didn't know that.
I think there's dumb people out there, and there's certainly dumb parents and dumb fans. But sometimes you get officials that just have a burr in their saddle.
Yeah.
Well, they're not always the best when it comes to, I want to support everybody, but sometimes you get some, like I got in one we had one that was a horrible umpire, just a horrible human being. You'd give him a little bit of power. So no matter what, I mean, it's just a tough situation now, the way we see sports, youth sports, high school sports. It's, man, I don't know if there's a win here.
Yeah. These texts say, if he said, I'm going to kill you, then the charges are fair, yelling and screaming isn't. And this one says you can't threaten to kill people, especially at a stupid kids football game.
That goes without saying. I think.
Like, he's getting fired. He's getting publicly shamed. He's never going to be able to coach again. Like, did he really mean he was going to kill him?
I don't think so. Of course not.
And that's where I kind of am like, well, whatever.
We don't have a long leash when it comes to mistakes
but
in today's world.
This is a funny one.
We don't.
Along those lines, funny to think this coach won't ever coach again, but Art Briles keeps getting hired.
Yeah. Well.
True. All right. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Coming up this hour, hear from LeVar Arrington and the mayor of Oakland. Not related topics that they're speaking on. Not one bit. Right now, though, it's time for the Nugs.
North.
Gaskin might go the distance. Washington is back in the game. Touchdown, Husky.
South.
Herbert, play action. The deep shot. Touchdown, Oregon.
East.
There's a lot of people. It's like Woodstock, except everybody's got their clothes on.
West.
He's going to house it again. 78 yards for Artavis Pierce. Touchdown, Oregon State.
It's time for the Northwest Nuggets.
McNugget Hera would definitely be
A look at the area's top Pac-12 teams.
I'm a Ducks fan.
Part of Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is where we give you a nug or two from the Northwest Schools games this week. And it all gets started right here on The Fan Friday night. 7:30 on FS1 as well. Colorado visits the Oregon Ducks. Joe Davis, Brock Heward, Bruce Feldman on the call. Did they just stay here? Do you think they went home? They were here on Saturday.
Keep the crew up north.
So keep them here.
Yeah.
All right, here's my nugs for you. Oregon's defense gave up a touchdown last week, but that was all. It's the first time since 1960 the Ducks have held four straight opponents to single digits in points. And that defense is really good. Here are all of the categories which Oregon ranks first in the Pac-12 defensively. Are you ready for them? Points allowed, touchdowns allowed, total defense, yards per play, pass defense, completion percentage, pass efficiency defense, red zone scoring, first downs allowed, sacks, passes defended, third down conversions, plays of 10 yards or more, and they are the only team in the Pac-12 not to allow a play of 40 yards or more. That, my friend, is 14 categories defensively. They lead the Pac-12, and they're second in interceptions with 8.
That's sexy.
So in 15 categories, they are first or second in the conference.
Oh, by the way, the last three Pac-12 champions have all ranked in those, number one in those statistics. It's a good thing to be.
Oof. All right, Ducks, Colorado, 7:30 Friday. Saturday, noon 30 on the Pac-12 Network, the Cougs are down in the desert for Arizona State. Ted Robinson, Yogi Roth, Lewis Johnson on the call.
Supposed to be hot down in Sun Devil Stadium, Tempe. In fact, here, Washington State, they haven't met. We're on the rotational deal. They have not met since 2016. Did you happen to know that? Feels like it's so weird how we always get those rotational games. Unlike the SEC, it's not 9 years or a decade. It's just been two. This is a very lopsided all-time meeting between Arizona State and Washington State. ASU. Sorry, the Cougars have won the last two meetings, but ASU trailed the all-time series. This is insane. 15-26-2. I didn't know that the Cougs owned ASU like that. I did not know that. That's pretty good.
Either. That is a little bit surprising.
Yeah, no, I would have thought, okay, wait a minute. But, you know, the Cougs have been pretty dominant all time. But Wazoo owns this number one statistic when it comes to sexy on offense. Washington State leads the country in passing at a nice round number of 450.0 yards per game. It is fourth in total offense at 546.8, and it scores a lot of points. It's eighth in the country at 44.8. So they score, and they score a lot.
You say 540 yards a game?
546.8 yards per game. That's a lot.
So they're averaging 96 yards a game rushing the football, too? My gosh.
It's a lot. But here's the best part.
94.
Start your countdown clocks, Coug fans.
Ding, ding, ding.
We are 2 weeks away and counting. HBO special premieres October 23rd.
Ooh.
Start 2 weeks from today. It's Wednesday.
Hercules.
Count it down, because the only thing sexy is going to be is hearing Mike Leach give us all his insight as a prof. He's a professor. Did you know that? He teaches.
Yeah, I did. But was it? Insurgent warfare and football strategy.
Sign me up.
Makes sense. All right, the Oregon State Beavers are taking on Utah in Corvallis Saturday, 5 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network. Roxy Bernstein, Anthony Heron, and Jill Fightmaster Savage on the call for that one. All right, Utah is one of two Pac-12 programs in which Oregon State has a winning record against all time. 11-9-1 record versus the Utes. The series has been played incredibly close, too. Over the last five meetings, Utah has a 3-2 record against the Beavs, but the combined total score is Utah 130, Oregon State 121. Like, there are no, like, it's not blowout city. These games are tight, no matter who's good and bad. And remember, the Beavs almost knocked him off as a ranked opponent at Research Stadium just a couple of years ago. Jake Luton is on fire as of late. He's joined Rare Air. He's got 6 touchdowns against UCLA. The list of Oregon State Beavers quarterbacks with 6 touchdowns in a game is Sean Mannion, Derek Anderson, Terry Baker, and Jake Luton. That is pretty rare company. On top of that, Luton has thrown 166 passes without an interception, only second to Heisman frontrunner Tua Tagovailoa. And Luton is almost there for the state or the school record. He's 16 attempts away from passing Matt Moore for most consecutive attempts without an interception. That's pretty good. Oh, by the way.
That is really good.
Isaiah Hodgins, really good too.
Yeah.
He leads the Pac-12 in receiving, is fifth nationally with 632 yards.
Think he hangs around?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. You know, we were talking about that the other day, and I said, I could see him being gone. I saw a article that said he's getting like first round buzz.
Yeah, if you're a first rounder, you go.
But I don't know, man.
You go.
That would be quite the jump there. Yep. And that kind of, quote, buzz happens all the time this year, at this time of year. All right, Saturday, 8 o'clock. Wow. 8 o'clock, Cleland, on FS1, Washington, visiting the desert in Arizona. Tim Brando, Spencer Tillman, Cauley Harvey on the call.
I figured it out.
Okay.
8 o'clock starts are the kryptonite of Chris Peterson, because ever since he started complaining about 8 o'clock games, saying how will we have to do that, it's been an absolute struggle for him to figure out how to keep his team motivated for 8 o'clock starts. These are back-to-back 8 o'clock starts, and they're also back-to-back 8 o'clock starts on the road.
Oh.
And the last time the Huskies met down in Tucson, it was 2016 when they made the college football playoff, but it was a barn burner because it had to go to overtime. And that's what this is going to be. I believe this is going to be a close game. I got zero confidence that Washington go down to Arizona and wax this team. Not at all. So, however, though, I love these stats that always tell you about the career stats of how they hold the edge of 21 and 11. We talked about defense, how good Oregon is on defense. We know this conference up north is now focusing on defense, except for Washington State, because they are elite when it comes to offense and numbers and passing. But Washington hasn't allowed an opponent to score more than 35 points in a game since the 44-30 loss to UCLA in 2014. That's a streak of 62 games in a row. If you do play defense, you'll be in the games. They're not playing great offense. I'm telling you what, you still have to figure out a way to stop teams, and they have. Unfortunately, you still got to score.
Score more points to win the game. Right? Go John Madden on him. All right, there's your nugs, folks. Northwest Nuggets every single Wednesday at 8 a.m. LeVar Arrington sounds off what the former Redskins linebacker had to say about the owner of the team. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, 8:19, Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Here's a little reminder for you. We give away Ducks home game tickets in our app contest. We give away Oregon Ducks home game tickets all season long. It's an exclusive app contest. In order to play, you got to follow these steps. One, download the radio.com app from the App Store. Do you have that?
Are you asking me? I'm not eligible.
Talking to you. Yes, you do. Two, allow push notifications. You get breaking news.
We're not egregious.
Look,
we're not going to spam you with this stuff. It's the stuff you need to know.
Yeah. Three, favorite 1080 The Fan as your station. It's like becoming a P1. Just give us a little love.
Right.
And the only way can you enter and play is to download the radio.com app. So go do it. And you could win duck tickets. For more info, you can go to 1080thefan.com. I don't know how much more info you need. Just go and download the radio.com app, allow push notifications, and you could win. Okay?
Sounds easy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it
Plus
is.
You get to hear us in just that crystal clear. Mm-hmm. Super.
Sing for him.
Ryan from the guy, bassy voicey.
Sing for him.
I don't want to do that.
Ryan, sing.
You do it.
What should I sing?
Whatever you want.
You sing, Dusty.
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song? Yeah. I have no idea.
What's your karaoke jam? You know that.
Friends in Low Places, probably.
There you go.
That's a good one, too.
Get a little bassy.
And at 8:20 this morning, here's Ryan singing Friends in Low Places.
Blame it all on my roots.
Whoa.
You get one bar.
One bar?
That's it. It's
one bar and Wednesday, huh?
You'll have to join me at an actual bar if you want the rest. Yeah.
All right, 9:30 a.m. Ryan's going to be pounding.
You get to sing next.
No, I'm good.
Why not?
LeVar Arrington.
You pansy.
LeVar Arrington went on FS1's. I've sang before on this station.
When?
Monday. I was singing on Monday.
You're pansy.
Don't we need Cam to do the French national anthem again, too?
Yeah.
I already sang.
Cam's done things like he's apparently going to do an update. The very first year we were on the air, he said he was going to do a sports update, and that still hasn't happened either. So it's okay. We're going to be all right. LeVar, I already sang.
I sang. What are you talking about? Update. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to do that update. but they write theirs down. Like, they write and read.
Well, yeah, you'd write one.
I was thinking like just off the cuff, off the top of your head, just bang, sports news.
Okay, well, then sports do it.
It's hard.
In 6 minutes. Yeah,
it's tougher to just kind of riff for 90 seconds.
I'm never said it was easy.
No, I'm saying the way you're talking about doing it would be much more difficult, just kind of riffing for 90 seconds.
It's true.
You want to talk about LeVar Arrington now?
Yeah, I want to hear the audio.
Okay. LeVar Arrington went on FS1's Speak for Yourself, and they were talking about Dan Snyder running off Jay Gruden and firing him at a 5 a.m. meeting along with Bruce Allen. And LeVar Arrington had quite a bit to say about Redskins owner Dan Snyder.
The root of the issue is, you know, it's ownership. I mean, it's the culture of the building. It's the culture of how things are handled. I mean, when you're in a building where you're told not to look the owner in the eyes and acknowledge him if you're not of a certain level of stature.
Get out.
Is
that real?
Maybe things have changed.
Oh, wow.
But from my recollection, you had to address him as Mr. Snyder, even as an adult. And if you were not of a certain level or stature, you were not allowed, you were told not to look at the owner. Hmm. The reality of that example that I give you is, until you treat people like people, and I've been saying this since I played there, I've been saying it since I did radio and covered the team on an everyday basis. I've been saying it for years. This is the young and the red skinless. That's what I call it. It's a soap opera that continues to have different episodes and season after season after season.
Wow.
I love it.
To unpack.
No, I think it's great. I think when you get to see the real root, like he said, the root of the ownership issue, nobody's surprised with what he just said.
No.
If you know, and just be able to watch Dan Snyder and what he's done to lead that team into a dumpster fire of ineptitude.
And I think there's often a lot of outside noise of people saying, well, this is how the Redskins are. But when you hear it from someone firsthand who lived it and who was there and a part of it a really long time, has so much more weight.
Yeah, that is you hear a lot of this from athletes. So is Robert Kraft is addressed as Mr. Kraft with the Patriots. Paul Allen was Mr.
I didn't walk around calling him Bob.
No, but that is one of the things where it's
really
like,
bad handshake.
LeVar, yeah, you said dead fish.
Yeah, it's not a good handshake. Little hands though.
LeVar Arrington's like, you know, he forced you to address him as Mr. Snyder, right?
Yeah, no, it was never implied. There was never a point where you just said there's a respect factor,
right?
But I also did when I played for three different owners, and it was always Mr. Benson.
Yes.
That's not a big deal. I didn't really care about that. I don't really care. But he didn't sit there and walk around and say to do that. It was Georgia. She liked being called Miss. She didn't care about Miss Frontieri. She's like, oh, Georgia. But she was rarely around, so you could just see her every now and then. She's a super nice lady. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Kraft was just Mr. Kraft.
Yeah, but going on to say, you're told not to look the owner in the eyes.
It's a whole different deal.
That is a weird move there. You know, like the whole Mr. Snyder thing, I get. Not looking him in the eyes. The weird thing is that you're supposed to look people in the eyes, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not at a certain level or stature, you were told not to look at the owner. My God. If that is true, that is completely bizarre.
What is the level of stature you have to be at?
Mm.
That was what I want to know.
LeVar Arrington?
I mean, what?
I don't know, but...
I mean, do you get a note or a letter in your locker that says you can look at the owner now?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you threw for five touchdowns and you had a good game and you had like four sacks.
Is Daniel Snyder's office like a throne room and he calls you in and goes, child, you may look at me now as he's sitting in his weird throne.
You may come in and kiss the ring.
You may look at me. Kind of laughs like that.
What a clown.
I don't get that, but that's coming from a former player. And so this is what happens. LeVar Arrington says that. I hope that there are players that either back it or refute it, because we'll find out the truth real quick on LeVar Arrington, whether or not this is an actual thing, or maybe it's something that, you know, these things happen too. LeVar Arrington is just told that, and he always just kind of seems to believe it.
Yeah.
But if that is a real thing in the Redskins organization, It's a the biggest duh. No wonder they suck.
Maybe that it. Can you imply a respect factor, or do you have to earn it? Because this is my I have this plight in today's world. There's a lot of young people that don't call. Here's the thing: is that anytime I had a coach, the rest of their life they're coach. That's kind of this is the one thing. And if it's because I just immediately gave that coach the respect of he's my coach, even if I liked it or not. But there were also times where I had position coaches and he was by the first name. It was like, hey, Mal, or hey, Tommy. That was a different relationship I had. If you're implying respect or you earn it, in today's different kind of cultures right now, they're young athletes or anybody that call people by their first names, or it's just a very bizarre, different kind of mindset. And I know we're evolving and we're looking at this as like, I never want to think of a young athlete that if I'm coaching that at some point in time we'll be equals. But when I'm your coach, there is that respect factor that you right. just have. Like you're a coach, I'm a coach. You do that. Do you want guys calling you by your first name or anything? Or is that just something that's different?
No. It's not my first name for sure.
If you want to walk around and say, hey, Dusty, what am I supposed to do that? Doesn't that sound, is that just, I mean.
No, that doesn't happen.
Are we out of bounds on some of these things now?
But if you don't, everything we do is look at me. Hey,
yeah,
we're talking, look,
yeah.
What are you doing? I don't understand why you wouldn't want them.
Well, because they're looking at their dang phones.
Like, would you want them to be subservient?
Yeah, that's not what we're looking for here.
That's what Dan Snyder seems to think, is that like you are, it's denigrating somebody by doing that. What a weird movement for a weird guy. Sounds like Dan Snyder is just a weird person.
Yeah.
And he'll be in control of the Redskins forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because he likes being the owner of the Redskins, and it doesn't seem to mind that everybody thinks he's a joke of an owner who's ran a proud franchise into the ground.
See New York Knicks.
I bet the way that he ends up having to sell that team, in his own mind, he won't be forced to do it. He'll need a new stadium eventually, and the city will give him no help. Mm. He'll threaten to move the team. The NFL will say, you're not moving the Redskins out of Washington, man. And then he'll say, my hands are tied. I have to sell the team. I bet you that is the way he has to do
it. I think he's a lifer.
You think he is?
Yeah, he's a lifer.
I bet he'll look at $5 billion and go, because he's fairly young.
Is he?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
is he late 40s, early 50s?
For being a billionaire, yes, he is. He's relatively young. Yeah, he was born in 1964. He's 54 years old.
Yeah, he's in his 50s.
He's worth $2.6 billion, and that's not even counting the Redskins' value.
Yeah.
My God.
Well, we guarantee the Redskins are going to be garbage for a while.
True that. Mm-hmm. All right, 55305, better you today, text time. We got more owner news. Well, this actually has nothing to do with the owner. The Oakland mayor confirmed a rumor. After Buck with SportsCenter. Thank you, everybody that's been following the Portland Diamond Project closely and is fans of what they do, like you and I and everybody that works here and most of the people that listen to the station. There was a collective WTF yesterday morning when the news started popping up that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, had told Oakland city leaders that they would move the team to Las Vegas if they couldn't find a new stadium deal. Well, that quickly was confirmed by several outlets, including the mayor herself, Libby Schaaf, of Oakland, on KTVU yesterday morning. Here's what she had to say about Major League Baseball and their stance on the Oakland A's getting a new stadium.
Did the commissioner actually threaten, and it's hard for me to even say, the Las Vegas A's?
The reports of that are accurate. That is the city that came out of his mouth. Now, again,
what was your reaction to that? The Raiders are leaving to Las Vegas.
Obviously, he chose his city wisely as far as, exposing a pain point that all Oaklanders feel about losing our sports teams. I will say, though, that I absolutely see a path to a new ballpark right, in your view at our terminal, as well as really giving the A's the opportunity to do a community-serving development out at the Coliseum, as well as to maintain that as a backup plan. So I see this path. I am confident we will get there. This was, I think, a misguided action that we can put behind
us. By the city.
Enough. Yes.
Okay.
She's saying that Manfred just wanted to twist the knife. Knowing the Raiders are leaving, knowing the Raiders are going to Vegas, he brought up Las Vegas. Vegas, you always kind of hear, okay, they just got hockey. They're getting the NFL. The NBA's had an all-star game there. Sports are doing well. Could baseball work? And they're building a new minor league stadium just outside of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's not a major league stadium. It holds like 10,000 people or something.
Yeah.
But you sit there and you look at it and you go, he's trying to use Vegas as the leverage play for the Oakland A's. And that's exactly what Portland was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, the Diamond Project has been very clear. Like, hey, we'll be okay with being a pawn for Tampa and Oakland to get new stadiums as long as we get one eventually. Or, maybe one of them do move. It was a little bit jarring, though, to hear Vegas out of Manfred's mouth instead of Portland, but that's just the one that hits closest to home with Oakland.
Well, it's personal, and she did a very good job as a politician to try to save face a little bit and say the right things. But Oakland's fallen on their face. They really have. They're going to lose two sports teams, and they know it.
Well, all three.
Well, of course. They've already lost the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, I know.
They're going to San Francisco.
So they're going to lose three in less than a decade.
But the Schaff did say that she does. Am I saying that right, Buck? Schaff? Libby Schaff?
Yeah, that's correct. Libby Schaff.
She did say that they feel optimistic about Howard Terminal, which no city leaders, and Buck, you know a ton about this, city leaders have been the one that have been apprehensive about things like Howard Terminal or Fremont or anything else. She sounds like she's on board with the Howard Terminal deal.
She is, but they don't have any money. It's a city that has said they're cash poor and that they can't finance it, so they need private financing, and the owners won't step up and do anything. The owners are too cheap. So they, in spirit, want the A's there, but they don't have the capacity to do anything about that.
And isn't the county own half of the A's stadium now, and the city owns the other half?
Yeah. That's where this rift is that basically the county wants to sell off their half, and they want to sell it to the A's because the A's are the ones who are offering, but the city's like, if you sell it to the A's, then they can take it anywhere. And they're like, well, yeah, you guys need to make a bid. And they're like, well, we can't compete with the A's bid.
$85 million, I think, is the A's bid.
Yeah, that's the number.
And the city's going, we can't.
The Oakland A's, their ownership, they got them by the purse strings.
Well, and the other thing is, my understanding is the A's ownership wants to have that so that they can basically, they want that land so they can develop it into condos and other stuff that will then in turn create the money for the next ballpark.
Well,
they don't
want to
open up their
own
pockets.
Just like here in Portland. It's the exact same thing that the Portland Diamond Project wants to do is put in thousands of units of housing. So the big thing that I've been getting out of this is the panic of hearing Vegas A's is something that Manfred was just one wanting to get a reaction from Oakland, the city, not the team. Mm-hmm. He got it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that this has kind of been the plan. You're a pawn. Hopefully Major League Baseball wants to expand. And if you're talking, one thing we talked about last week, expansion of the postseason in baseball would have to come with expansion of the league as
well. Absolutely. You're going to need to. It's not good enough right now to have one game be a wild card. It's certainly five games is interesting, but we could go to seven and it would still be great. You could push back. Yeah. If you're going to get more teams in, then you're going to have more postseason baseball. That's just that's, and I think that Rob Manfred not only is going to do that, but as the money starts to grow with it, it's incredible how much money is in the sport. You tell me that two cities like that, and if you want to take Tampa Bay and just throw them up to Montreal, fine. Give them to Canada, take it to that level, and bring one of the teams here, or let's go. I mean, stop wasting time with trying to hold on to Oakland. At what point in time do we just look at this and go, Oakland, all right, you had your chance. You had your shot.
It will be a long time. It will be a long time. It'll be as long as the Oakland A's ownership wants to be there.
And that, how that's isn't what their owner like 82 years old? I thought that was. I mean, it was. It's a very, very, very cheap ownership group.
Always has been. That's why they went from Philly to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. You know, into was it a year in Kansas City, into Oakland. I mean, that's who they are. I mean, I don't know what it is about Oakland, but they have attracted those types of owners. Al Davis, same way, right?
Yeah.
Oakland to Vegas, or Oakland to LA, back to Oakland. Now his son's taking him to Vegas.
They're chasing money.
Yeah, and you're not willing to spend the money to build their own. The only reason why the Raiders are going to Vegas is because Vegas is building the stadium for them. Yeah. You know, the money that they're getting for a stadium is ponied up by the NFL. It's not them, you know? But Vegas and the Raiders fits. That works. Vegas A's doesn't sound as good. Mm-mm. I don't like that. Mm-mm. Portland A's now. Come on. But it sounds like Oakland is committed to keeping them in Oakland. Also, we got two Game 5s tonight in Major League Baseball. Dodgers on the ropes. How about this? The Los Angeles Dodgers may fall to a wild card. And here's a little statsy for you. We were mentioning that the wild card teams, before this postseason started, the wild card teams had a record of 28-30 in the divisional series against the top seed. Mm-hmm. We could have that record go to 500. It'll be an even 500. They'd be 31-31 because you could have the Dodgers and the Astros both fall.
If this does happen, now I also heard some baseball aficionados.
34-34. Sorry.
Well, talking about, is it bad for baseball to have two small brands knock off two of the biggest? Mm. I mean, because I mean, Houston's a huge market. It's a huge market. You're a World Series champ. That is what we've been waiting to see. Houston, Yankees. That's what we want to see. But if you knock off the Dodgers, if they've been to two straight World Series, they were trying to get their third. They felt like this is going to be their year. Does baseball look at it and go, I mean, I know big brands sell. We got the Chicago Cubs when they won their chance. But isn't this just like a baseball thing that does? I mean, it just comes around when Kansas City's able to do it. And then you see Arizona sneak in back in the early 2000s. Yeah. I mean, this just happens. Houston had to break into this dance. They had to.
As long as the Yankees, Cardinals are alive, you're going to be okay. Right? Like, the worst thing Major League Baseball could have is a Nationals-Rays World Series.
I think so.
It'd be just the worst.
From a market standpoint, it'd be terrible.
No, it'd be terrible.
What if it was a great series?
You'd have two East Coast teams, but it's not East Coast teams people like.
I know.
You know, like when it was Yankees-Mets, at least it was, you had the Subway Series. There was something intriguing about that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want two East Coast teams that nobody cares about.
But I know that. But that's the thing is, in professional sports, we look for the parity and the excitement of it. But when two teams earn it, and then we get to the point and say, we don't want that, doesn't that just sound condescending? It's like, what do you want these teams to quit? What then? Why? And then here we are as Portlanders and Portlanditers, Portlanders. And we're saying we want an expansion team. What happens when this team eventually ever happens and then they make it to the World Series? You're like, well, that's not good for baseball.
Well, no.
I think it's a dumb comment to say that we need big.
We're disrespected. That's what we'd yell. Just like we do with the Blazers.
It's a little,
It is a dumb comment. You're right.
It's like, what do you want these guys to quit? Then have four teams. Let's go back to what is 1923. Or it's just like six teams. Because they're the only ones that matter anyway, right?
So root for George Springer to pull his head out, and so you can have Astros, Yankees in the World Series because he's not playing well at all. Astros, Yankees in the ALCS. And then if we got Dodgers, Cardinals, like we're talking about the doomsday scenario. If you had Dodgers, Cardinals, mm-hmm. Astros, Yankees, those are two awesome LCSs that have huge fan bases, passionate fan bases, and then the World Series, you can't go wrong with any of those teams in it, you know? And that would be great for baseball. There's one scenario that is doomsday, and it would be bad.
Well, you need a one-off year occasionally to keep the other markets happy. You just need a one-off
year. No, you don't. The hell with them. That's what St. Louis is for.
Well, then they're going to say that when they got a team here. Yeah, the hell with them.
Yeah, but it won't matter as long as you're hoisting the commissioner's trophy. That's all that matters. Yeah. You know? Ben, how great would that be? The Rays win the World Series and move to Portland.
That'd be great.
Next year. You know? Great. They'd get to put the little gold tag on the back of their jersey. Oh, wait. That's just the NBA. Who does that? Okay. 55305. This text says the Vegas AAA stadium is already open. Lots of room around it to expand. If the pictures I was looking at didn't look like there was much at all. Looks like it's just on one outfield wall, and then they have a building directly behind it. That'd be interesting. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. We will give you the most boring call of a Hail Mary touchdown to win a game of all time. Dustin Kim on the Fan. All right, the Grand Valley State Blue or Lakers Division II powerhouse. They were playing a game over the weekend. And oh my gosh, this game, I think it was streamed on like ESPN Plus or something. Where did this come from? The internet?
Where I found it.
Might be the most boring call of a game-winning touchdown catch. Now,
Is this neutral or is this the home?
This is as time expired, the call. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's not the opponent.
Well, if it were the losing team, it would matter.
It would matter if it was the losing team. That's why I
But you would still expect emotion.
And there's a touchdown. Okay. All right. I got to hear this.
Brenner, Pettis trying to get some push. Brenner's going to get it there. No doubt about it. What's going to happen now? That is caught for a touchdown. I don't believe it. Four guys back there. They couldn't stop the play. I don't know who caught it. Oh, it's going to be Justin Davis. What a walk-off win for Ashland. Incomprehensible series of events for Grand Valley on the last two plays.
There was a slight uptick, and there was a slight inflection.
Yeah. This was ESPN 3. So I think at one point he realized, oh, wait, I need to stop.
A slight inflection.
He went, oh, yeah. And that was a 52-yard Hail Mary. Quarterback threw the ball almost 60 yards in the air.
It didn't sound like any of that happened.
Nope.
It didn't sound like any of that happened whatsoever. In fact, he said, I can't believe it. Like, he was the opposing team's broadcaster.
And then he went Princess Bride. he said incomprehensible instead of inconceivable. Yeah, but
incomprehensible.
He went incomprehensible turn of events.
Means he couldn't understand it?
Oh, my God. Like, come on, bro.
Hornswoggle, befuddled.
Yeah. That's what we're saying.
And why I said it doesn't matter is even if he was a Grand Valley State guy, you would think he'd be, like, more upset.
Some more emotion? And
he would just be like, no! Give me a gusgasm or something, you know?
And this just became one of the worst days I have had in quite some time.
Minor league guy who got his laptop broken. That seems to be like what you would expect.
Oh, he got it! Smith!
That is what I expect out of a massive impartial, gasm. Just be happy games are happening.
Oh, don't worry, be happy.
Oh, what a catch!
Yeah, instead, we got this.
Brenner, Pettis trying to get some push. Brenner's going to get it there, no doubt about it. What's going to happen now? That is caught for a touchdown. I don't believe it. Four guys back there. They couldn't stop the play. I don't know who caught it. Oh, it's going to be Justin Davis. What a walk-off win for Ashland. Incomprehensible series of events for Grand Valley on the last two plays.
To each his own. Tom Cleary.
Tom Cleary.
So, there we go. Worst play-by-play call in the history of Hail Marys. Would you be like that?
I
remember
in a car?
When I was doing local play-by-play down in Southern Oregon for Crater High School.
Yeah.
Even when they lost on a play like that, it would be like, I can't believe what happened.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to show emotion. Unlike that guy. Yeah, you do.
Be neutral.
Yeah, you do. No, you do.
I mean, Joe Buck does it as good as anybody. He does the emotionless emotion.
Well, for baseball, it's different. In baseball, you let the play speak for itself.
In football, you got to describe.
Yeah,
football. Even on TV?
Yeah, you have to give a little bit of emotion and get it all out there. It's not like that was the Super Bowl.
Incomprehensible series of events.
Oh, man. Yeah, that needs to be a drop. Well,
broadcasting is hard. I've done color. Like I'm no PXP guy. Buck, man, the master.
Wait,
of PXP.
You've done play by play. Haven't you?
I didn't play by. I'm a color guy.
Oh, yeah. It sounded like a 5-yard first down pickup.
It's 5 yards.
It really did.
Down,
it was and he caught it. Touchdown.
Dynamite drop in, Monty.
Broadcasting school is really paying off.
That's good.
Okay. Who do you got tonight? NLDS game fives, two eliminators. Braves hosting the Nationals at 2 over on ESPN Portland, 9:10. Dodgers hosting the Nats at 5:30. Whomst your teams?
I like the Braves because they're more interesting. And I also like the Dodgers because they're more interesting.
Oh, so not that you think they're going to win. You just want interesting.
I'm cheering for interesting. No, I like the Braves.
Buck?
I like the Braves there.
I want the two road teams. Give me the Cards. Give me the Nats. I don't actually believe in the Nats, but as a Giants fan, I'm obligated to pick against the Dodgers.
I want Cards.
Well done.
Doiters.
Well done to hold on to that.
Yeah, that's good. Buck is on the chaos theory.
Gosh, you are a super fan.
Can you imagine if we didn't get the Dodgers or the Astros in the World Series?
I can't imagine that because it's going to happen. Oh!
Shut your mouth. Triggered
that little.
You triggered
little crusty
that Tampa Nats series that everyone's clamoring for.
I'm not worried.
You will be.
I'm not worried.
You will be.
I'm not worried at all.
Don't be worried.
It'll be fine. Oh, happy 19th birthday to my sworn enemy, Penei Sewell. Oh. Finally 19 years old. Biggest 19-year-old ever.
Ever?
Ever.
He's a big man.
My God, he's huge. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd from... Oh, wow. Richard Sherman is saying he'll apologize to Baker Mayfield for Ron Lee saying he refused to shake his hand. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Soup, and the Hot Corner, or no, Coach's Show after that. Mario Cristobal on, or the Coach's Show, which has various coaches, with Jerry Allen, Mike Jorgensen, Joey Mack tonight. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday right here on The Fan. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!